Doug Chapin is director of the nonpartisan Election Reform Information Project. He's been monitoring whether states, cities, and counties are reforming their voting protocol in the aftermath of the Florida fiasco. And he told us most states have made real efforts to change their ways.
In some states and localities, there will be new machines being tested across the river here in Arlington County, for example, today. There is a new type of touchscreen machine.
In Virginia, which
is being tested not only in Arlington, but across Virginia, and also in metropolitan Atlanta, there are touchscreen machines, and in some counties in Florida, there are new machines.
You've also researched changes that won't be evident to voters at the polls today, or would not have been, but that actually have taken place. For example, in Ohio, there are new rules governing the vote count.
That's correct. In Ohio and in other places, there are new rules to determine how to count votes which are in dispute. When you have a voter who has not filled in the bubble all the way or drawn the line the way it's supposed to be done, how does one interpret that and count that vote or determine that voter's intent?
So in Ohio, for example, it is now clear two corners of the Chad must be broken for that vote to be good.
The Chad must be swinging in order to be counted as a vote, yes.
Now, I've read in your materials that, like everything else, it seems, voting has been affected by the events of September 11th and subsequent weeks. For example, there's a gubernatorial race in New Jersey, and people will be voting in a state where there have been problems with the mail and where some people have requested absentee ballots. We approach the mail-in ballot completely differently today than we did a few weeks ago.
We certainly do, and we've seen reports from New Jersey and across the country where jurisdictions that will be receiving and counting mail-in votes are issuing vote counters masks and gloves and instructing them on precautions to be taken with suspicious mail of any kind.
I mean, do you get the sense that mail-in voting, which was such a rapidly rising reform movement, and certainly in the Pacific Northwest, has been dealt a blow by this sudden loss of confidence in the mails?
Hard to say. It's certainly, although it has been rising in popularity, it's not without controversy. There is some disagreement. The various task forces we saw this summer studying the issue of election reform were divided on the notion of whether or not so-called convenience voting, which includes mail-in voting, was actually a good idea.
It's not necessarily private, for example.
It's not necessarily private. Voters make their decisions before, well before Election Day, well before the campaign is complete. Certainly, if you are a skeptic about mail-in voting, this is just more fuel for that fire.
And thinking back to some of that litigation a year ago, November in Florida, do you think that every election board has shaken out every punch card machine to get all the old chads out of it this year?
I would be very surprised if that had not happened. I've referred to election reform as being the sort of the Willy Loman of issues, and that attention must be paid. And you do see election boards across the country paying incredible detail to what's going on. I've heard stories in Northern Virginia, for example, that students who normally had held bake sales in polling places have now been told that they must respect the 40-foot limitation at polling places. So we're seeing very small but very real effects of the new concern about election reform.
Mr. Chapin, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Doug Chapin, director of the Election Reform Information Project.